Into deep and rocky gorges a false light lured me down. I neither care nor worry how I shall get out again. I have often lost my way, and every path has had its goal. Our pleasures, our sorrows, all is game to the will-o'-the-wisp. Down the dry bed of the stream I wind my way quite calmly. Every stream will reach the sea, as every path will find its grave. I was just saying to Tessa last night, this spirit is wearing me out, killing me by exhausting me. But when the trip hit me last night, as I sat before my statue, icon, of the very ancient wooden saint communing, and saw the vines clustered and growing and swirling, I thought, well, he's saying, you should have more fun. Old Erasmus sure was a prankster. He sure liked number games. I saw all around me everywhere numbers. That's why he's bubbling over with mirth, I thought. That I've figured out who he is at last. He is so into puzzles and riddles and puns. He's laughing. The spirit who had been animating me was laughing and bubbling over, and vines swirled with dark-colored clusters up the vestments of the saint. If Erasmus was indeed a person who saw fun in everything, then this was Erasmus, at the time I convinced the spirit to identify itself finally, and to my complete surprise, that it was truly Erasmus, the great scholar of the Bible. I didn't doubt at the time. I kept saying to Tessa, he's an astrologer. For some reason, that seemed important. Maybe because seeing the Arabic numerals and knowing he was an astrologer linked him to the Renaissance and not to Greece, to the revival of learning, of Greek. But of course, astrologers were everywhere in the ancient world. Still, at the time, last night I mean, I was delighted. I'd never guessed he'd not been to Greece either. His head filled with thoughts and knowledge of Greece had fooled me into thinking I was in Greece. What pleased him most, I'm very tired. What pleased him most, Erasmus, was that I had mistaken him, a scholar, for a god, Dionysus. But today, recalling the intoxication, which it was, my mirth, the advice, you take all these scholarly things too seriously. You should have fun. Well, who of the two does that sound like? And the cluster of vines on the vestments of the saint, they just are not there. And that is what I saw. He was playing games again. And I must say, he runs away, Claudia honey, runs away from the stark sight of the man in fawn robe lying face down, dead, murdered. And wouldn't you? He was so happy. He had been so innocent and happy. Last night, as I listened to the phono, I found myself sitting close to a color photo of Victoria Principal, and her tawny skin and long black hair got to me. And then I saw she was on a leopard skin rug with the same dappled spots. Note. Victoria Principal, born 1950, is a Hollywood actress, Earthquake, Dallas, and one of Dick's many dark-haired girls. Dick was drawn to this particular subset of brunettes throughout his life, sometimes suffering intense crushes on women he had never met. Linda Ronstadt. Dick was especially drawn to Principal, whom he believed could capture the cold sensuality of his android femme fatale character, Rachel Rosen, in the cinematic adaptation of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, 1968. Dick began taping up pictures of Principal around his apartment and sent letters and a copy of Ubik to her. He was heartbroken when she failed to respond. Dick also pushed for Jefferson Airplane vocalist Grace Slick to play Rosen. Dick's penchant for these women inspired his collection of poems, essays, and letters, The Dark-Haired Girl, published by Mark V. Zeising in 1989. D.G. Endnote. Beneath the dapple of the fawn is the dapple of the leopard. Both are protective coloration, and the god of fawns has two sides. Do you really think Erasmus would have been so filled with mirth? Hence vain melancholy, etc. Vain deluding. Left out key. Ah, how key word. But maybe Erasmus, that pious Christian scholar studying Greek, was the first, the very first in our world to resurrect Dionysus as he labored at his scholarship. I had reckoned that the Holy Spirit seemed to have returned to our world about the time of Martin Luther, and Erasmus was a contemporary of his. Also, you will find the words perfect and fool in my most recent notes, and Erasmus wrote In Praise of Folly, which is about the fool who is Christ, and Parsifal is a perfect fool. That is what those Arabic words mean. Think of Godspell, which enchanted me. Item. We generate the horizontal time to keep order in what we encounter. But ah, the utility has made it progressively more and more difficult for us to experience the infinitude of transparent laminations, which we bind together with the energy we call time, if we could release them, a trillion butterflies out of each object. And each object, form, can travel back for us as the transparencies unpeel. Back, unpeel, back and back, to earlier forms, to uncover them, as in Ubik. They are there because they are accretional. They really are there. Oh, that antique world. At one instant, early in my trip, I saw an old man bending over me, the wise king from the dream in tears. And I saw a Saxon haircut and Saxon clothing. I had uncovered, I know, authentic bits from the world around me and in my head. I am part of the world around me, remnants sleeping from the past. What lies hiding within each object? A garden, so to speak, the enchanted garden. But they relate to the past. Studying one photo of Victoria Principal, I noticed that her hairstyle made her look very much like the Mona Lisa. And then I saw that beneath it, being, there was the Egyptian hairstyle of women. When I had seen the shot of her, which first drew me to her, it was because, I thought, she reminded me of Kathy. But the hairstyle contains bits of past words, much like pulp paper has fragments of colors from older sheets of paper. The paper remains. The sheets give way to successive pulping. Sadly, I decline into the mundane, i.e. this second in time. I see something fascinating, though, the vines on the vestment of the saint. He had been painted with a simple design over and over again. Big deal. Anyhow, over the years or even a century or two, dirt, can you believe it? Dirt has obscured the purity of the white and has contaminated the repeated simple design to connect many of the repetitions of the design in wild flowing patterns. His triangle inverted white front is no longer white. And that, plus the dirt, his front is alive with the grapevines of spring, and I'm sure he knows it because I had just prayed to him for help. That it was my daughter Laura's birthday and I phoned her again and again with no luck, and felt so alone, and got loaded, and then went into commune. Read that as appeal to my friend. The gentle saint is underneath, maybe white and pure, but he laughed out into color. He tripped out, and all the world was alive with giggling high for me. The high is gone, but the solution as to why we see time along the wrong axis, and much stronger proof than we do, remains. Plus the memory of happiness in a world of dappled pelts and music and love and number games of the most delightful complexity, hiding the smiling, murdered God. NB, I just want to add, we see time to anchor our world of buzzing, blooming experience. We must anchor it. I couldn't type this to tell you, and I wouldn't know who I was or who you are otherwise. But the time axis along which forms and telechies grow to completion, that is orthogonal, and it is real. Remember, you heard it here. But from whom? That I do not know. You must read Arthur J. Dyckman's paper, De-Automization and the Mystic Experience, Note. Arthur Dyckman was a psychologist who wrote about de-automized perception in Charles Tart's landmark collection, Altered States of Consciousness, 1969. Endnote. In Charles T. Tart's Altered States of Consciousness, Doubleday Anchor Books. Note. This is the book, published in 1969 by the pioneering parapsychologist Charlie Tart, that introduced the phrase altered states of consciousness into the already humming counterculture. Although the phrase had already been used by Arnold M. Ludwig a few years earlier, it was this book, and probably this book title, that made the phrase a common stock of the zeitgeist. As with so much other mystical literature, however, what we really encounter in the exegesis are altered states of consciousness that are also altered states of energy. That is, what we finally encounter is conscious energy. Jeffrey J. Kripal, JJK. Endnote. By my theory now, if you remove the imago for a moment, remove a single imago between you and the sense object, then you see it, loss factor, unrelated to it prior and it after, i.e., the thing with no time involvement. The gain factor is that you can gaze at it and peel away all its layers as Joe Chip saw objects revert. You can find the billions of related transparencies within. You can also see each sense object or form where it stands placed, in the static structure of the universe, the mystical experience of being outside of time, if you want that. But to me, what is more exciting is to peel away time, the accretions, and this is orthogonal time. But de-automization, in Dyckman's sense, must take place first, turn on, and do it. In seeing the pattern of sense objects, where they're located, you see structure. In peeling away the layers, you see into being. But you do not see the forward growth of the entelechy of the form you peel away. You are going in the opposite direction, although along the proper axis. What is underneath or what is within or below are the previous steps in sequence. Remember, I pointed out, sequence is very real. Sequence is all important. It is pattern. This is the growth up to now, to the stage where it is vis-a-vis you. If you are to see what comes next, you must move along the true orthogonal time axis in harmony with it, into the future as all forms grow, as each frame is replaced by the next further grown frame. They are a sequence of static frames for each entelechy, one idola following the next. Seeing what transparencies lie ahead is like the difference between stripping away successive layers of paint on an old bureau, or digging down through the strata of a buried city versus imagining what layers would will come next. Only the logos can and does that. You can see the difference between previous layers in an Indian garbage mound, one after the other, and the hypothetical layers to come in the future. This is real time, orthogonal time. But I think you and I et al. Are limited to peeling back or looking back. We cannot see how forms will grow, because as they do grow, they interrelate, which is what we call the cosmos. And to see the future stage of the plan is to see something which would elevate us and abolish us as we now exist. From my metaphor of the hurried artists sketching the one person sitting at Disneyland, you can see that I believe that Christ is the completed form toward which all men move, this approximation. And it's getting closer and closer, we can guess. But we do not really know what Christ looks like. Surely not those cruddy pictures of him all goopy-eyed. When we achieve that perfection, as we do, we may not recognize, not see where it agrees. Because, one, we are the sketches, not the artists. And, two, we cannot see the person being sketched, and yet that person is ourselves. How strange. The sketches can't see the person being sketched. Only the woman. The what? The workman's hand as he sketches. But presumably, the person being sketched looks like we. The sketches do. And with woman, I returned to the fawnskin run in the woods of Arcady. Will the long dances, typing, madness, enthusiasm ever end? Signed, Euripides, and other hard-working, driven, turned-on ease.